Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I've got a question for you guys. I always have many questions. It's just how I love to preach. Just going to move this closer because I like to walk around and I'll end up knocking it. Have you ever had one of those days where it's just another day, you're not expecting anything unusual, then all of a sudden things are happening and it's like, wow, God is good. I didn't see that coming. This day is such a good day. Something significant happens. Anyone ever had one of those days? Or have you had one of those days where you're just trying to get somewhere, you're trying to do something, and then you've got interruptions. Every day. Conveniently inconvenienced. And you're like, God, what's that about? You don't see God's purpose in all the interruptions, all the distractions, things you just weren't expecting. Ever had one of those days? Always. What about a day where you just end up in a bad situation? You didn't see it coming. You get stuck in a situation, in a trial, in disappointment, or you get a bad report from the doctor, or something's happening in your marriage, and you just didn't see it coming. Have you had any of these kinds of days? There's someone in the Bible who had these kinds of days all in a short amount of time, and his name is the Apostle Paul. So we're going to check out a few stories that Luke in the book of Acts tells about some of Paul's journey. We're going to go to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 16. Come with me to Acts 16. We got our Bibles. We're still bringing our Bibles to church. Yeah. Because today you're going to need it even more. We're going to be going through quite a few verses, but we're going to stick in Acts 16 for most of the time. So Acts 16, 13 to 15. Just two verses we're going to read. It says, "And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside. We were supposed." No, it says where we were supposed. They went out of the gate to the riverside where we were supposed. Where we supposed. Is anyone else reading this with me? Where we supposed there was a place of prayer. They've gone outside of the city by the riverside. They were supposed to find a place of prayer. It says they sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Women had come together to pray. Do we have any praying women in here today? So this is Paul and Silas and Luke. They've just rocked up into Philippi. There's been no Christians in this place. This is their first time, and they've been trying to meet up with Jews that fear God, and they're looking for a place of prayer, but this was on the Sabbath day. They have to go outside of the city because anything that was a foreign religion to this place was not allowed in the city. So they go to look for this place of prayer, and then in that place of prayer, they find a woman named Lydia, and she was from the city of Thyatira. She was a seller of purple goods. She was a worshiper of God. So she feared the Lord, but she actually didn't know about Jesus. She didn't know the gospel. What happens is that the Lord opened her heart. Who opened her heart? The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. How good is that? The Lord opens our heart. This lady was a businesswoman. She sold purple goods. She was in the trade of purple goods. Anyone like purple? See a bit of purple in the room? See, purple showed that someone was rich. It showed royalty. It showed nobility. So she was a rich woman. And here she is, this businesswoman, at this prayer meeting. And Paul's speaking to this group of women, And as he speaks, he's obviously sharing about Jesus. He's sharing the truth about the Lord. What happens? The Lord opens Lydia's heart. Have you ever got frustrated because you've been trying to share the gospel with someone and they're just not getting it? You're sharing about God and people just don't get it. Well, guess what? It's not me, it's not you who opens people's hearts. It's the Lord. It says the Lord opened her heart. Acts 16, right there. What verse was it? 14. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying. What are we saying when we're out and about the Lord? All we have to do is just speak about him, share about him, live out what he says. That's our part. Our part, our responsibility is not to open up their heart. Yes, we co-labor with God. We speak as he leads, but he is the one who opens the heart. It's his responsibility. So we're to just do our part. Paul and the missionary team, they were just doing their part, spreading the gospel, going where they were being led, and God opened this lady's heart. What happens after that? What happens? She gets saved. It's not just Lydia who gets saved. It says her whole household was saved. Look at what happens when God opens someone's heart. When we're just doing our part, and then when he wills, how he wills, he opens someone's heart. She gets saved. Her whole household gets saved. That household included servants. That household would have included dependents, maybe children. It became a Christian home when God opens the heart. A whole household could be saved. That takes us doing our part, and it takes God doing his part. This woman gets baptized. Next week in this room on Sunday, Easter Sunday, we're having baptisms. We have two people so far getting baptized. Be praying for them. Be praying for Leanne. Be praying for Tinaye. Now you guys can't change your mind because everyone knows. But you know, when they get baptized next week, they're saying as they go into the water, that resembles Christ's death. And they're saying, I have died to my own life. And as they come out of the water, they're rising up as new creation into a new life. Thanks to the resurrection of Jesus. They're coming out into resurrection power. See, they're already saved. They already walk in resurrection power, but something significant happens when you get baptized because you're being obedient to what Jesus has called us to do. He was baptized. He's asked us to go forth and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you to do. So that's what's happening next week. If you're interested, talk to me afterwards. But Lydia was not the only one who got baptized. Her household gets baptized. Children get baptized. And not only has her heart opened up, but she actually opens up her house. She says to these guys, I want you to come to my house. You know those ladies, or maybe the older people, they're like, you need to come to my house. I want to feed you. And you just can't say no. Do you have those people in your life? Do you have them? See, they opened up the house. What she did is her heart was opened, her house was opened, and she actually was giving God everything. She was being generous. God is the one who opens up the heart. Are you in the marketplace? Today what I'm talking about is marketplace, roads, and trials. Marketplace, roads, and trials. This lady, a businesswoman, she was part of the marketplace. What's your marketplace? The school, maybe where you teach, the hospital where you work, the corporate place where you work, that is your marketplace. And there's people around you that just like Lydia came into this prayer meeting and God had her there knowing that he wanted to open her heart, knowing that he wanted to do a work in her. There's people around you in your workplace, in your neighborhood. That's your marketplace. You're not just working at that bank just for the money. God's put you there for a reason. There's people who he's going to open up their hearts. But the question is, are you doing your part? Are you doing your part? Not just speaking, but how you live. So he opens up their hearts. And it's amazing, right at the end of the story, we'll get to at the end. These guys do all this mission work, but once they're done, they go again to Lydia's house. She was the first Christian in Philippi, but her house becomes like a church, like a home church. You just don't know what God's going to do through you as he opens people's hearts. But as God opens people's hearts, things happen. As God opens people's hearts and uses you, we go through some things, the interruptions, the difficulties, and we actually need to know what we carry as his people. See, Paul was doing what he'd been called to do. You're doing what you've been called to do in your workplace day by day. But we can easily forget sometimes what we carry. So you need to know and use what you carry. Let's go to Acts 16, 16 to 24. So Lydia's been saved. The whole household has been saved and baptized. And that was on the Sabbath day. But then it says in verse 16, as we were going to the place of prayer. Now, this is another time. This is another day. As they were going to a place of prayer, it says, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. They're trying to go to the prayer meeting. And then some girl, some translations in the Bible say that the spirit that she had in her was a python spirit. It's a divination spirit. It's one where she was fortune telling. It was a demonic spirit. But she could tell the future through this demonic spirit, and her masters were using her to earn money. So what happens is she follows Paul and us. This is Luke speaking. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. She was telling some truth in that. But she was being such a distraction. And Most High God to them meant so many things. She wasn't really pointing to God. Salvation to the people in that context meant so many other things. She goes, they proclaim to you the way of salvation. But then she kept doing this, not just that one day. It says for many days. Imagine, they're walking in the marketplace, trying to get to where they're wanting to go. And on that day, they just come from experiencing the week before, days before, Lydia getting baptized, households. They're pumped. They're like, God is good. We want to see more of this. And then now they keep getting this lady just following them, just yelling, shouting. They didn't want everyone to know what they were up to. It's God who opens the hearts. They don't need someone shouting. So these men, she says, are servants of the Most High God. They proclaim to you the ways of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed. After many days, I would have been annoyed on the first day. Are you serious? Who are you? Someone lay hands on this sister. Let's go, let's take her to the other room with all the other ladies. Just pray for her. But no, Paul was putting up with it. Then it says he got greatly annoyed. He's just like, oh my goodness. Some translation says he was deeply troubled. He wasn't just annoyed. He was actually feeling sorry for her because she was a slave to a demon. She was a slave to her masters. So he was actually deeply grieved for her. Because she was held captive. So what does he do? He says he just turns. And he says, not to the girl. He says to the spirit in the girl. He says to her, to that spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And what happened? It came out of her that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. It wasn't just the demon that left the girl. It was the master's hope of making money that left the masters. When these guys saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attacking, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. Just imagine that. These guys are out to just represent Jesus. Some girl gets in the way. They do the right thing. Jesus sets her free through their prayer. And now they're getting beaten up. They're being attacked. The whole city is against them. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. It's all happening on this day. There's been interruptions, and now they're going to jail. They didn't see that coming, did they? What a day, what a day, what a day. See, Paul and Silas, they were on a road to pray. They're on a road to do some things for Jesus, and they encounter interruptions. Do you know what that is like? When you're trying to get to church to be with God's people, to be in His presence where there's two or more gathered, and then you spill coffee all over yourself as you're about to get out of the house. Your husband's been in church for a few hours setting up, and you think, "I'll make him a coffee." Then you have to change again. Then before you know it, something else spills and you have to change again. Or you're trying to get to the men's pizza night, movie night, and you're doing the best thing. You're taking two of the other guys with you. And then your car breaks down. It's like, God, what is happening in that? Or maybe you're going to a hospital visit to go pray for someone in the church or someone that's not even churched. And you want to go and pray over them so God would heal them. And you're stuck in extreme traffic. The enemy does not like anything that is going to advance God's kingdom. That's going to mean us taking territory over darkness. Satan tries. He tries to stop us. He tries to get in the way. You're going to a marriage seminar. And then your kids get sick. You don't want the babysitter to get sick too. So then you got to stay home. Can anyone relate to these things? If you're going to the footy, the enemy's like, go for it. There's nothing wrong with the footy. I go to the footy, but I'm telling you, I don't really encounter any opposition when I'm going to the footy. But it's only when you're wanting to do something that God has told you to do that spiritual warfare comes. So we need to know what we carry. Not to just know it, but actually use it. You have the Holy Spirit in you. The person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to know what we carry. You see, demons, they recognize God. They recognize the Holy Spirit. They know when God is in the room. See, that girl, she had a demon in her. And that's why she was saying what she was saying, because she saw, not her, but the demon in her could see what was in Paul. They recognized the Spirit of God. They know when God is at work and they try to come against it. You and I, if we have said yes to Jesus and have received the Holy Spirit, we carry dunamis power. We carry the power of God. Matthew 10 verse 8, Jesus says to his disciples, the kingdom is at hand. Matthew 10 verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. We carry the power to cast out demons. Paul didn't do a lot. All he said was that, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a price to pay to carry that power. We have to be close to God. We have to be walking with Him every day. But this is what we carry. Come out. It says it left that girl in that hour. That can mean in that moment. That can mean in that portion of time. That can mean instantly. But it came out of her. Jesus says in Mark 16, 17 to 18, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. It's talking about you and me. It says they will cast out demons. Before it even talks about that, it says they will speak in new tongues. Might have got it the other way around, but these are the signs. Cast out demons, speak in new tongues. They will drink poison and will not die. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is the authority that Jesus gives us. Luke 10, 18 says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. That's the authority He's giving you. Don't go to the zoo or to the bush and start trying to look for snakes and stepping on them. Unless the Lord's telling you to do something silly like that. But He's telling us the power we have in the Spirit, that nothing will hurt us. See, that lady in there, she had a python spirit, a divination spirit. And when you see things in people, you have the authority to pray over that. This is not to say you see something in someone, you go, hey, come here. Who can never say, I cussed that out. No, that was his situation. You walk with them. You do life with them at work. And as they ask you questions, and as you do life with them, when they say, pray for me, then you can say, hey, actually, I want to pray over this and this. And then you command it to come out. But you've got to be talking to them about that. So don't be saying, Pastor Steve said, just go around casting out stuff. Jesus said, this is the authority that you have. This girl got set free. That's what we carry. The spirit of freedom. The Holy Spirit. Are there people that you come across that need to be set free? From an orphan spirit. From a critical spirit, from a spirit of adultery. There's many spirits, spirit of deception. God will give you discernment to see what might be happening in people's lives. But when we look at those people, we just can't look at the person. We have to ask God to give us eyes to see what spirit's behind that. But we're not to judge them. We're actually to walk with them. And it's that love of God that will set them free. Do you know what you carry? But are you actually using what you carry? See, there was victory here. There was victory. Paul experienced victory. Seeing that lady set free. But then someone gets set free. But then Paul is led into prison. Someone's being set free. And now someone is going into prison. Not a place of freedom, but into prison. Let's read Acts 16, 25 to 34. Acts 16, 25 to 34. We've seen what happens in the marketplace. We've seen what can happen on the roads when we're doing what the Lord is asking us to do. But now things are getting really tough for Brother Paul. It says in verse 25, now he's in prison, right? Paul's in prison. He's been beaten up because the masters were not happy with the masters of that girl. They've taken him into the city, brought the magistrates. They've gone, arrest him. Now he's in prison with Silas. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Those were strong wooden stocks. There's no way that could just be fastened. Unfastened. But this is what happens. When the jailer wakes up, he sees the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Supposing that the prisoners had escaped, but Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is the same thing the woman with that spirit had been talking about. These guys know the way to salvation. And now the jailer realizes, oh yes, they do know the way to salvation. He's just seen God at work. And he says, "What must I do to be saved?" Verse 31, and they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. We see it again, a whole household. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. So as God uses us, as God works through us, we see victories. We've seen victories. We see people get saved. That's why we do baptisms. We celebrate salvation. We see people transformed. We have testimonies of people getting set free from all sorts of things, people being delivered. But trials, tough times still come. We still go through hard times. Jesus said that trials and tribulation will come. It's inevitable. I'm not prophesying that trials are coming. They are coming. For some of us, we're in a trial right now, but you still showed up. Jesus says, tribulation will come, but I have overcome. So when we go through trials, does God stop working? Do we hide? Do we stop believing? No, we hold on to God. We hold on to Him through the trials. Hold on to God through the trials. What did these guys do in prison? It was about midnight. They prayed. They sang songs of praise. What do you do in these times of trials? Don't let circumstances take your praise away. When you're going through tough times, I was talking to someone this morning. They've been going through a tough time, but they've been praising. Don't let your circumstance take your praise away. You see, it's counter-natural. Counter-natural. To praise God when you're going through a tough time. These guys were praising God in prison. There were prisoners listening to them. See, when you praise God through your tough times, people are watching. Doesn't mean you're being fake. These guys could have lamented, "God, why have you done this? What are you doing?" And God would have heard that. There's time for that. But what these guys did was, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing God's praise. Oh, Lord our God. Imagine that in the prison. Guys are like, what are these guys doing? Praise the Lord our God. Next thing they're like, the earth will shake and tremble before Him. Chains will break as heaven and earth sings. Holy is the name. Oh, holy is the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the chains are breaking. These guys are set free. It's not just them set free. It says everyone in the prison. Their chains came off. Their chains were broken. And people could see, wow, the God that these guys are praising is powerful. See, when people see you react in the ways that you react Godwards towards God, when you could be doing something else or hiding, they watch. They watch. And then when God moves in your situation, because He will move, maybe He hasn't moved, but He will move. He said, suddenly an earthquake came and they were set free. So now they're going, whoa. They could run out of the prison, but they didn't run out. They were in awe because God has just unfastened the chains. He's broken the chains. They're in awe. Old mate jailer, the prison guard, he wakes up. So what is going on? He's like, I'm dead. He tries to kill himself, doesn't he? Because he's scared because everyone could go. He was about to commit suicide. But Paul, being led by God, says, do not harm yourself. We are all still here. We are here. Come with me to verse 31. What does it say? Acts 16. He then comes and he falls down before Paul and Silas. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This guy was about to kill himself. He was about to lose his life. He was in fear. See, fear is false evidence appearing real. He thought they were gone. Are you afraid of something that's happening in your life right now? Is there someone this morning who's thinking about committing suicide? It happens. There's people here that have thought about it. I'm sure there's people here that have attempted in some way. But I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you've been wanting to commit suicide, to take your life because of things that are happening, there is one who saves. His name is Jesus. He's the one who gives life, and He's the one who sends you to be with Him when the time comes. Someone said to me this morning, they had a vision that someone would be in this room today who wants to commit suicide. If that is you, I just want to tell you that God's got your number, and God wants to give you life and life evermore. There is freedom. Lord, thank You for Your freedom. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in this moment who is wanting to take their life, Father, that, Lord, You would show them how You love them. You'd show them how You've brought them into this place today for freedom. And that they would recommit themselves to You. Hallelujah. Hold on to Him through the trials. See, one who was about to become a prisoner to death, this jailer, Paul uses what he carries, the Holy Spirit, to be led by Jesus to set him free. Where God has placed you in your life, wherever there's people that are in darkness, there's people that are thinking thoughts of death, and all of us think thoughts of death in some way. It's not just committing suicide. anything that is not of God, that is not life, is death. But we carry what brings life. So we're to hold on to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. See, whether you're in the marketplace, whether you're on the road, whether you're going through trials, Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the one that opens the hearts. He's the one that is with you through those interruptions, distractions. He's the one that gives you the authority to bring freedom to people. He's the one who is with you through the trials. This jailer, he gets saved. It's not him only that gets saved. Just like Lydia, him and his whole household. See, God turns things around. These guys had been beaten up. These guys couldn't even sleep properly because they had wounds and fresh wounds. They couldn't even lie down probably. They couldn't position themselves into a comfortable spot. But what happens when God turns things around? This guy gets saved and then he starts to wash their wounds. He starts to clean them up. God's turned things around. What situation are you going through right now that God is wanting to turn around? God is with you in your situation and he will turn things around. The one who kept Paul and Silas captive ends up washing their wounds. He even feeds them by the end of it. Come to my house. He feeds them and they rejoice. And he was baptized at once. Can you see the pattern? Someone gets saved and they get baptized. They get saved and they get baptized. We need to see more of that in our lives around us. People getting saved and people getting baptized. We don't need to wait for too long. Otherwise, we're actually saying, you are Lord, but you're not Lord. So if you haven't been baptized, really encourage you, pray into that and just do it. You don't have to wait. Do people ever ask you? This is what I want people to start asking me. Really convicted from this message. Do people ever ask you, what shall I do to be saved? What shall I do to be saved? If no one's asking me that, for me, it means I'm just not getting around people that don't know God, or I'm not fully being who God wants me to be in situations. I'm not revealing his identity, or my life is just not showing it. Yes, I know it could be showing it and people could just reject it or deny it, but I need to be asked that question. People, if they see God's power in my life, they'll be like, what? How did that happen? I'm like, Jesus. Go, tell me more about that, Jesus. Are people asking you that question? How can I be saved?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.com.